These are the areas which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest, Joshua the son of Nun, and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel distributed as an inheritance to them. Their inheritance was by lot, as Yahweh had commanded by the hand of Moses, for the nine tribes and the half-tribe. For Moses had given the inheritance of the two tribes and the half-tribe on the other side of the Jordan. But to the Levites he had given no inheritance among them. For the children of Joseph were two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. And they gave no part to the Levites in the land, except cities to dwell in with their common lands for their livestock and their property. As Yahweh had commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know the word which Yahweh said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of Yahweh, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed Yahweh my God." So Moses swore on that day, saying, "Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed Yahweh my God. And now behold, Yahweh has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since Yahweh spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now therefore give me this mountain of which Yahweh spoke in that day, for you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that Yahweh will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as Yahweh said." And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb the son of Jephunneh as an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite to this day, because he wholly followed Yahweh God of Israel. And the name of Hebron formerly was Kirjath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim. Then the land had rest from war. And now skipping down to chapter 15 and verse 13. "Now to Caleb the son of Jephunneh he gave a share among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of Yahweh to Joshua, namely Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron." Arba was the father of Anak. "Caleb drove out the three sons of Anak from there, Sheshai, Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak. Then he went up from there to the inhabitants of Debir." Formerly the name of Debir was Kirjath Sefer. "And Caleb said, 'He who attacks Kirjath Sefer and takes it, to him I will give Aksah my daughter as wife.' So Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it, and he gave him Aksah his daughter as wife. Now it was so, when she came to him, that she persuaded him to ask her father for a field. So she dismounted from her donkey, and Caleb said to her, 'What do you wish?' She answered, 'Give me a blessing. Since you have given me land in the south, give me also springs of water.' So he gave her the upper springs and the lower springs." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. In our last message, we began to consider the third section of the book of Joshua, which covers chapters 13 through 21, and it all deals with the possessing of the land. Chapter 13 described the division of the land east of the Jordan to the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh. And chapter 14 begins to discuss the division of the land west of the Jordan, that is, the land of Canaan proper, to the other tribes of Israel. Now, as I mentioned last time, we are not going to look at every verse in these chapters, but we will focus on key individuals and events. Chapters 14 to 15 provide a detailed description of the apportionment of land to the tribe of Judah. And woven into that account is the ongoing story of Caleb that will primarily occupy our attention tonight. But we will have a three-part outline. We will consider first introductory matters in chapter 14, verses 1 through 5. Secondly, Caleb's faithful request in 14, 6 through 15. And then Caleb's faithful deeds in 15, 13 through 19. We begin with some introductory matters, and we'll consider these under three headings. First of all, the process of distribution. Secondly, the place of the Levites. And thirdly, the priority of obedience. The process of distribution. Here again, the first two verses. These are the areas which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest, Joshua the son of Nun, and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel distributed as an inheritance to them. Their inheritance was by lot, as Yahweh had commanded by the hand of Moses for the nine tribes and the half tribe. Now verse 2 tells us that this was an inheritance by lot, and it was through the command that God had given to Moses. And we find that command in Numbers 26. Numbers 26 begins with a census of Israel, breaking down each tribe into families and clans and providing the population of each tribe. And as soon as that accounting is completed, we come to the command beginning in verse 52, Numbers 26, 52. Then Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, "To these the land shall be divided as an inheritance according to the number of names. To a large tribe you shall give a larger inheritance, and to a small tribe you shall give a smaller inheritance. Each shall be given its inheritance according to those who were numbered of them. But the land shall be divided by lot. They shall inherit according to the names of the tribes of their fathers. According to the lot, their inheritance shall be divided between the larger and the smaller." Now, these verses tell us several things about this division of the land. First of all, it's going to be by tribes. It's going to be divided up to tribes. And the size of each provision of land is going to be proportionate to the size of the tribe. So larger tribes will get a larger area. Smaller tribes will get a smaller area. But the location of each tribe's inheritance will be by lot. And Joshua 14, verse 2 emphasizes this division by lot. Now, we do not know exactly how this was carried out in this case, though it was one of the ways that Yahweh revealed his will to Israel. The key point is that this meant the division of the land was directed by the Lord. Proverbs 16, 33 says, "The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord." So the land is distributed according to the Lord's sovereign will, and thus this distribution should be beyond dispute. And those involved in the process were Eleazar the priest, Joshua the son of Nun, and the heads of the fathers of the tribes. Eleazar was Aaron's third son. He was his successor as the high priest in Israel, and his involvement highlighted the fact that this division of the land was a sacred activity. Well, next we consider the place of the Levites, Joshua 14, verses 3 and 4. "For Moses had given the inheritance of the two tribes and the half-tribe on the other side of the Jordan, but to the Levites he had given no inheritance among them. For the children of Joseph were two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim, and they gave no part to the Levites in the land except cities to dwell in with their common lands for their livestock and their property." All right, it's Bible quiz time. All right. Which tribe did not get a portion of the land? All right, the tribe of Levi, the Levites. Why did they not get a special portion of the land? Okay, they were the priests and those who assisted in the sanctuary, but if they weren't given a particular area, where did they live? Everywhere, right? They were scattered in cities throughout the land. Okay, now here's a math question. If one tribe did not receive land, how is it that the number of portions still equal 12? What? Joseph had two sons. Who were they? Manasseh and Ephraim, okay? Ephraim and Manasseh. And Joseph's land was divided into those names, Ephraim and Manasseh, of his two sons. And that kept the number at 12, with the Levites being scattered throughout the land. Now, we're going to read more about the cities of Levites, when we get to chapter 21. But this preview explains why they aren't going to be among the tribes to whom the land is apportioned in the chapters to come. So that's the place of the Levites. Finally, in this section, the priority of obedience. Verse 5, "As Yahweh had commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land." Once again, we see continuity from Moses to Joshua as Joshua leads Israel in obedience to commands that were given through Moses. Now, I know from experience and observation that matters of inheritance can often be occasions for dispute. When a will is not specific, arguments can break out over who gets what. It was Israel's obedience to the Lord's commanded process that spared them from such arguments. Again, the distribution of the land was the sovereign prerogative of Yahweh. Well, that brings us to our second point, Caleb's faithful request in verses 6 through 15. It might seem at odds with what has just been said when we read next that Caleb made a specific request for his portion of the land. But when we consider this closely, we see this as a faithful act rooted in divine promise. Let me read again verses 6 through 12. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal. Remember, Gilgal was the first encampment after Israel crossed the Jordan. That's where Joshua has gone back to live. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know the word which Yahweh said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of Yahweh, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed Yahweh my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land where your foot is trodden shall be your inheritance, and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed Yahweh my God.' And now behold, Yahweh has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since Yahweh spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old, and yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now therefore, give me this mountain of which Yahweh spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that Yahweh will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as Yahweh said." So Caleb meets up with Joshua, and he reminds them, kind of talks about the old days. "You know the word which Yahweh said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea." And so this casts their minds back to the time when Israel was first perched across from the promised land at Kadesh Barnea. And you remember the story. Moses sent 12 spies to explore the land. They all came back extolling the fruitfulness of land, but 10 of the 12 spies complained that they would never be able to overcome its inhabitants. Only 2 spies gave a good report, calling the people to faith in the Lord to conquer the land. And those 2 spies are the 2 men meeting here at Gilgal in Joshua 14, recalling that earlier time, Joshua and Caleb. As Caleb puts it here in verse 8, "Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me, the other spies, made the heart of the people to melt, but I wholly followed Yahweh my God." Now, we've already encountered this idiom of people's hearts melting in fear in this book. But earlier, we encountered it among the Canaanites, whose hearts melted because of what they had heard about Yahweh and what he had done for and through his people Israel. But earlier, that situation had been reversed, and it was lack of faith that led the hearts of the Israelites to melt in fear of the Canaanites. They would not listen to Joshua and Caleb, who now were the only ones left of that generation to enter the land. And think about what an amazing experience it must have been for them. Meeting in the land, recalling the Lord's promises of the land, and preparing to receive their portion of the land. Caleb remarks that he had just been 40 years old at Kadesh Barnea, but now he was 85 years old. But he was a serious 85-year-old. He declares in verse 11, "As yet I am as strong this day on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in." I would borrow categories from Douglas MacArthur to say that Caleb contended that he might be an old soldier, but he had neither died nor faded away. He was prepared to keep going on in battle for the Lord, just as he had in his younger days. And Caleb had a specific request rooted in that word in Kadesh Barnea that he'd already mentioned to Joshua. That word of promise is found in Numbers 14:24. After Yahweh had declared the unfaithful generation would not enter the land, he says, "But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it." And Caleb makes this request in verse 12. "Now therefore," he says to Joshua, "give me the mountain of which Yahweh spoke in that day, for you heard in that day how the Anakim were there and that the cities were great and fortified." Caleb doesn't just want land. He wants the portion of land that had caused the Israelites' heart to melt. Listen to the background of this account as we find it in Numbers chapter 13. Back here. Just read a few verses from that about this particular part of the land. Numbers 13, verse 22. This is recounting the movement of the spies. "And they went up through the south and came to Hebron. Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmai, the descendants of Anak, were there." Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. Then down in 27 and 28, "Then they told him and said, 'We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there." Now they were the ones that were in Hebron. And then further on in 32 and 33, "And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in there in our own sight. And so we were in their sight.'" What most struck fear into the people was the report of the Anakim, the giants who lived around the mountain of Hebron. And this is the mountain Caleb now requests. And he does so knowing that it will mean battle, but confident that the Lord will give him victory. He says, "It may be that Yahweh will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out as Yahweh said." And I think we are to understand that Caleb's "it may be" is no statement of uncertainty. He is confident the Lord will be as faithful now as he would have been 45 years ago in giving even the most fortified and heavenly defended land into the hands of his people. It seems Caleb wants Israel to get that message loudly and clearly. Well, Joshua accedes to his request with a blessing. Verse 13, "And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance." And now listen to the reason given, verse 14. "Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed Yahweh, God of Israel." At the age of 40, Caleb was a man of faith. At the age of 85, Caleb is still a man of faith, wholly following Yahweh, God of Israel. What a picture of ongoing faithfulness. What a model for all of us. But lest we think Caleb was all bark and no bite, we read more about him in chapter 15. That brings us thirdly to Caleb's faithful deeds. Now, chapter 15 begins by giving the boundaries of the land given by lot to the tribe of Judah. If you look on the back of your little handout tonight, your green handout, you'll see a map of the tribal inheritance. And on the lower sort of left-hand region, you will see a portion that was given to Judah. It was a large portion there in the south. And the level of detail given in verses 1 through 12, it like maps the entire boundaries all around, from city to city, from place to place. All that detail is there for a reason. It reminds us that the Lord is faithful to his promises down to the smallest detail. I owe that insight to Nate, who brought it to my attention last week after the message, and it's a good point. We read all these details, but that's the level to which God's sovereignty extends. That's the level to which God's faithfulness extends. Now, after surveying the boundaries of the land given to the tribe of Judah, the narrative returns to one member of the tribe, Caleb. And Joshua carries out his promise to Caleb that was given in the previous chapter, verse 13. Now to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave a share among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of Yahweh to Joshua, namely, Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron. Arba was the father of Anak. And this gives Caleb an opportunity to demonstrate his words about fitness for battle are true. Verse 14, Caleb drove out the three sons of Anak from there, Sheshai, Ahiman, and Talmai, and the children of Anak. Now remember, in the spies' travelogue back in Numbers 13, they noted that they came to Hebron. Ahiman, Sheshai, and Talmai, the descendants of Anak, were there. And later on, those were described as giants. Long before David fought Goliath of Gath, Caleb and his forces fought and conquered the giants of Hebron. The very ones who had struck fear into the Israelites were now destroyed under the military leadership of Caleb. What a lesson for Israel to take to heart, as there would be other battles to fight with Canaanites who lingered in the land. But Caleb was not finished. Picking up at verse 15, then he went up from there to the inhabitants of Debir. Formerly the name of Debir was Kirjath Sefer. And Caleb said, "He who attacks Kirjath Sefer and takes it, to him I will give Aksah my daughter as wife." Now, if you look on your map there and you find Hebron, you will see just a little bit to the south and the west is Debir. They're relatively nearby cities. And it must have been an extremely well-fortified city, for rather than attacking it himself, Caleb issues a challenge that comes with an attendant promise. "If you attack this city and you take it, I will give you Aksah, my daughter, as wife." Now, I like to think of Caleb as a very savvy father here. I'm trying to figure out how to apply this myself. Now, this was a time of arranged marriages. So how could he ensure a husband for his daughter who would be in his own faithful mold? What better way than to give a challenge to follow in his footsteps of faith and courage by taking another formidable Canaanite city? You know, I mean, that son-in-law would sort of be a chip off the old block of his father-in-law if that happened. And his challenge was answered. So Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it. And he gave Aksah his daughter as wife. The challenge was answered by Caleb's nephew, Othniel. And this kept Debir, which was near Hebron, in the family, as it were. And it turned out that Othniel proved himself to be a capable leader both in military undertakings and in his later role as a warrior and judge in Israel. You can see that this all sort of followed through with what Caleb had intended. We read of him in Judges chapter 3, and it's going to set up with the situation of Israel in that day. Judges 3, starting at verse 7. "So the children of Israel did evil in the sight of Yahweh. They forgot Yahweh their God and served the Baals and Asherahs. Therefore the anger of Yahweh was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, and the children of Israel served Cushan-Rishathaim 8 years. And then we come, verse 9, "When the children of Israel cried out to Yahweh, Yahweh raised up a deliverer for the children of Israel who delivered them, Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. The spirit of Yahweh came upon him, and he judged Israel. He went out to war, and Yahweh delivered Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand, and his hand prevailed over Cushan-Rishathaim. So the land had rest for 40 years, then Othniel, the son of Kenaz died." So that's Othniel. And we see he really turned out to be quite a prize for Caleb's family. And Caleb's daughter, Aksah, shares his boldness in seeking blessing. Back to Joshua chapter 15, verse 18. "Now it was so when she came to him," that's Aksah, and it seems that him is Othniel there, "that she persuaded him to ask her father for a field. So she dismounted from her donkey, and Caleb said to her, 'What do you wish?' She answered, 'Give me a blessing. Since you have given me land in the south, give me also springs of water. So he gave her the upper springs and the lower springs. Now this appears to be a somewhat compressed account in which Achsah first goes to Othniel and says, ask my father for a field. And what comes later suggests that he gave her that field, gave them that field. It's the land in the south, which is literally the Negev. This was a region south of Hebron. It was known for its scarcity of water. So then she has the opportunity to ask Caleb directly for springs of water. And Caleb grants her the upper and the lower springs. Now beginning at 15 verse 20, the text lists specific cities encompassed in Judah's allotted land. And it just goes, again, these are detail, 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 showing what the Lord was doing for his people. But it ends, that long list of cities ends on a rather ominous note in verse 63. As for the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the children of Judah could not drive them out. But the Jebusites dwell with the children of Judah at Jerusalem until this day. Apparently, not all of Israel had the faith and fortitude of Caleb. The Jebusites were not driven from Jerusalem, we know, until the time of David. Now, the interweaving of the Caleb narrative in the story of the allotment of the land to the tribe of Judah demonstrates his faith and the Lord's faithfulness. Caleb appealed to the promise of the Lord uttered 45 years before, and he receives it in abundance, with Debir added to Hebron. Now, here how one scholar helpfully summarizes the implications of the bequest to Caleb. We must apprehend the significance of Caleb's faith and the Lord's rewarding it as he did. Caleb's portion, received in fulfillment of a promise in reward of his faith, was unusually large. It included two cities. The very size of his possession would call for an explanation through the years of the far future. This would make necessary telling Caleb's story over and over to each new generation. Thus, Caleb's large possession was calculated to perpetuate the memory of his fidelity to the Lord at the time when the whole congregation fell away from him, and the memory of how God rewarded the faith of his servant. Seeing Caleb's large possession and knowing the story connected with it, God's believing people would say, truly God is good to Israel, unto such as fear him and keep his covenant. There is scriptural proof that Caleb's possession was uncommonly large. In David's time, it was simply called Caleb, and thus distinguished from the rest of Judah. This is in 1 Samuel 30, verse 14. The Egyptian reports to David that his master had invaded the south of the Cherethites and upon the coast that belonged to Judah and upon the south of Caleb. Caleb identified as if it's its own territory. What's the end of that quote? As the story of Caleb and his inheritance challenged the Israelites to faith, so it continues to challenge us today. Will we believe God's promises? Will we pray for him to fulfill them? Will we step out in faith on the basis of God's word? We look ahead to an eternal inheritance greater than what Caleb received in the land of Canaan. May we walk in Caleb's footsteps of faith, in obedience to God, and in confidence that he will be as faithful in his promises to us as he was to Caleb. May we be inspired by faithful Caleb and by Caleb's faithful God.